Everyone, welcome our new sponsor, Diet Smoke.
Diet Smoke is the premier source for legal THC and mushroom products.
The team at Diet Smoke sent us gummies to enjoy while we whore and chill. My favorite are the grape sleep gummies.
And mine are the cherry lime gummies. With a wide range of strengths and doses, Diet Smoke promises to find the perfect product for you.
Whether you want something strong to unwind, a boost of energy to keep you going, or a lighter option for a mellow high, Diet Smoke has you covered.
They understand everyone is different, which is why they're dedicated to helping you find the perfect product. Their customer service team will be by your side helping you along the way.
Diet Smoke has cannabis gummies, shots, and vapes, each one made to deliver the best balance of flavor and effect.
So don't settle for less and join the Diet Smoke community and discover the buzz for you. Visit dietsmoke.com today and use code DFWTO for 50% off any item and enjoy your journey to cannabis bliss.
Diet Smoke, your partner in finding the perfect THC and mushroom products. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey guys, it's Casper
and Becky
from the DFWTO podcast. If you've been a longtime listener, you know how much mental health means to us.
Mental health actually plays a role in many horror films, especially the final girl subgenre. Whether it's Nancy facing her nightmares and defeating Freddy, or Sydney taking out Ghostface to overcome the trauma of and avenge her mother's death. Not only are horror movies a huge comfort to Casper and I, so is putting our mental health first. And if you agree and you're searching for professional services, let BetterHelp be your guide.
BetterHelp will connect you with a licensed therapist who can help you start your journey of self-awareness and discovery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be flexible and convenient for any type of schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get yourself matched up with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Just like the final girls that triumph over evil, triumph over your trauma with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/DFWTO and save 10% off your first month when you sign up today. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DFWTO.
And remember, guys,
Don't
don't fuck
fuck
with
with
the
the
original.
original. Now let's get into the episode.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the DFWTO podcast. I'm your host, Casper.
I'm your other host, Becky Gremlin.
Here to bring you all things spooky on Wednesdays because.
Wednesdays are for podcasts.
So, guys, we have a fun cryptid episode tonight.
We do.
Goat Man. Which.
Shocking that we have never talked about Goatman, especially since there are not one, not two, but three states that have all purported to have Goatman sightings. So
And if you're
this
not
guy gets
sure
around.
who Goatman is, he's literally a fawn. Like, if that's the best way to describe what he looks like a fawn.
Yeah. Or Pan, or
Yeah.
if you're Wiccan, that would be their, I guess, because there's a god and goddess aspect, polytheistic. So that would be more what the ancient horned god would look like. But yeah, that's basically what you saw. No.
So you guys have probably heard, if you watched Ghost Adventures at all, they went to a place called Goatman's Bridge. It was a haunted, very haunted location, said to have a lot of satanic rituals. I know a lot of people probably kind of parallel Goatman with satanic things. Just throw that all away. Because not, I don't, I, me personally, I don't think that Goatman has anything to do with satanic anything.
Well, and the reason why I brought up the Wiccan thing is because in, early Celtic and more, not non-Christian, older religions back in the day, they were
There were religions
polytheistic.
before
I
Christianity.
mean, right?
What do you mean?
What?
What do
Oh
you
my God,
mean?
I'm so, what
What
do you mean? I
do
am so sorry if I messed some people up there with that one. It is true. Google is free. But yes, so later the in any way to bastardize these other religions, the Catholic Church especially, stepped in and took their image of their horned god with the old god. There's many depictions. I've seen, like beard almost look like almost like a Merlin type figure. And usually it's not actual horns, it's like deer horns or something that were fashioned into, and it's part of a headdress for various rituals and different things and whatnot. So
It's
that
amazing.
immediately got bastardized,
Yep.
of course. And much later, there were drawings. There was a very famous drawing of Baphomet. And then that just further fueled, and you can go into all the history of that, but that just further added fuel to the fire.
It's actually kind of amazing when you look into the
Even though
history.
Baphomet's a totally and that's a totally separate thing that doesn't even have to do with Christianity, and nobody even knows if oh God. Anyway, again, Google is free.
Yes.
All of this is so vast, but got bastardized into one thing and became the Christian definition of the devil, which, in my opinion, that couldn't be further from what Lucifer actually. You
Listen.
know what I think Lucifer looks like? That fine ass. Who was the dude on that show? Whoo! Y'all listen. We're done for. I'm gonna tell you right now. If that's true and that's what he looks like, nah.
He needs to be a woman
Nah,
for me.
we're done. Take that chick, anybody that saw that season of True Blood, that chick, I cannot think of that actress's name. Her and then that guy. Yeah. And that's the devil. Just those two people. Just fine as hell.
It's
Like,
actually
I'm
pretty
gonna
amazing.
tell you right now, like anybody, if you think it looks like some creepy half goat looking thing,
No,
you're
then you don't
crazy.
actually know anything
It
about
is
Lucifer. Lucifer is beautiful.
Fine. Like, woo! Just straight gay, whatever you are, the thabies, the maybes, whatever you are, whatever your flavor is, just think about how scrumdiddlyumptious your vision
My
of
Lucifer is
whatever.
definitely Tom Hiddleston.
Listen.
Walk up in a black suit, long hair. Listen. Sir,
That,
you want my
listen.
soul?
1000% guaranteed that is what the devil looks like. So
But
quit
like
playing.
two things. So when I went to the Satanic Temple, because I was raised in Christianity and in the Baptist religion, my whole world was turned upside down. Finding out that Baphomet wasn't the devil and finding out that
No.
Lucifer is not who I was taught that Lucifer was, my whole world was shooketh. But
That one didn't even have anything to do with the other. Like,
not at all.
so far.
Not at all. Like my brain for a good what? Day, I was
Yeah.
like I could barely
You were
speak because
trying
my
to
brain
like
was trying
compute.
to get to a place.
Well, it's a deep, I've always looked at it. We've talked about this. I didn't go through religious trauma, but I have gone through friendship, relationship trauma. And I think there's variations. I think this is why a lot of people who have been in domestic, like myself, who have been in domestic violence situations, not family, but with a significant other, with a person, if you've been in domestic violence situations, you gravitate towards cult documentaries because they're very much the same. I mean, the alignment of the two are so much of the same. The love bombing, the
Yep.
gaslighting, the manipulation, the once they have you in, the fear of the abandonment because they've got you so manipulated and brainwashed that there is nothing else out there but this, but them. And then it's so it parallels. And I literally heard that on a, it was the Scientology one. It was the one Leah Remini did. When somebody made that comparison, I thought, this is what, it was like the light bulb, bing, bing, bing. I was like, this is why I gravitate, and especially more so in the last number of years, I gravitate so much towards these cult documentaries.
It makes perfect
Because it's
sense.
one in the same.
And I've
It's
been
so, it is so similar. It's so
doing a lot of
similar.
obviously a lot of trauma, religious trauma unwiring. And I have found that a lot of times, like growing up in the church, you really do find that you are taught that abuse is okay. Like you're taught about a God who's basically abusive, and basically, like, it's hard to explain. It's not the same God that I believe in currently. Like, I had to relearn that whole thing, but that's a whole different story. But you're basically taught that Jesus is basically a narcissist. Like, they don't say these things, but growing up and realizing how they teach everything, it's literally an abusive relationship with God. It's terrible. But what I was going to say was, when you really look back into a lot of
But it's also
Christianity,
somebody else's interpretation of that with the way that they're reading it to you. So then you have to wonder if the messenger interpreted the message that way,
no, because God told them to tell
then,
them what.
oh, that's right. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
they're men of God.
Excuse me. Excuse.
They're men of God. Of course they're right. So
Men, first and foremost.
they are correct. But
Men.
what I wanted to say real quick before we get into this, when you really look back at Christianity, a lot of deities, like actual deities, have been bastardized in the Christianity religion. And I didn't realize that until it started with Lucifer. It started with Lucifer and Lilith. I didn't even know Lilith existed.
Mary Magdalene, that whole story
That fucking blew me up.
got flubbed to
So
hell
like
and back.
it was just crazy, like started out with Lucifer and then I found out who Lilith was and I have like I'm like, wow,
Wow.
Christianity. Oh wow.
I'm sorry, I just watched Owen Wilson in a movie the other day
Wow.
and he dropped one of those and I was like, ah, there it
Wow.
is.
But yeah, it's just absolutely crazy how terrible. Like they bastardize everything. Absolutely. They even technically they kind of bastardize God. They make him out to be this tyrant when he's really not. So
Well, how else are you going to rope people into your cult, sorry, religion, if you don't? You got to zhuzh it up a little bit. You got to add a
flair.
little zhuzh.
Well, I'm sorry
Okay.
that a fear like it's the fear tactics for
Oh,
me.
yeah.
Using
Yeah.
fear tactics to rope people in is not okay, but
Well,
anyway.
and then you get people, I think my biggest argument with it, I'm so thankful that, I hate my dad had to go through part of that, but I'm so thankful that I had parents, especially my dad, that was like, no, because I feel like it's so harmful, especially to do that to kids. Like,
Like people out
because
here
kids
being
are
like,
so
they're
impressionable
like, don't indoctrinate
and
your children with the drag queens. And I'm like, okay, Brenda, you're indoctrinating your children literally
Don't
with
and
Christianity.
how about don't indoctrinate your children
At
at
all.
all? Like,
What a concept. I just spit so hard, my bad.
They
They're like, we're
just.
not indoctrinating our kids. We're teaching them the truth. And I'm like, you are 100% indoctrinating your
And you know what's
child,
so
but.
crazy is you could be speaking of either side of that argument.
You right.
You could literally be speaking of either side of that argument. And that's why it's so important to say, like, don't do, listen, this is a, you're shaping and molding an undeveloped brain. Like, you need to just teach them how to survive in the world, be a decent human being,
Let them
one, two,
choose.
threes, ABCs. And then once there's an appropriate age to talk about all this stuff, then that's when you do it. So I don't understand, you're like four and it's like, oh, and I'm like, they're four. Like,
I remember being 4 years
I
old being terrified I was going to go to hell. So,
have a
yeah.
3-year-old niece that knows nothing. So like, what are we doing? Not that I don't love her, she's adorable, but she knows nothing. Like, what are you? I can't.
Telling a
When I see
4-year-old that they're
people,
going to hell is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Rapture fear? That's a real thing. Anyway, not to get on religious
Yeah.
trauma.
But I mean,
Goat man.
we're going back into Goat Man. It all it's
It
we're doing a rapper.
I'm gonna do a wraparound.
It always comes back around.
I
So
just wanted
we're
to mention that though, because like just a lot of people associate Goatman with the devil, and
it's
it's
yeah.
not the same thing.
And
It's really not.
couldn't even be yeah.
Like Goatman is over here, the devil is over here. Like it's not, we're not even in the realm.
Yeah, we're not even gonna say
I sound like I
I
just
wouldn't
said.
even say apples and oranges. I would say apples and a carburetor. Like they're because apples and oranges are at least both fruits. Apples and a carburetor? I don't even know exactly what a carburetor is, but I'll tell you one goddamn thing. It ain't a motherfucking fruit. I know that.
I'm a fruit.
So, samesies. So, there you go.
I am a fruit loop.
I think my husband's in the other room screaming, like, I
He's waiting until we're done, and then
He's
he's
so
gonna be like,
cute.
I'm gonna tell you what carburetor is. So,
I listen, I am that wife. I'm like, my car's doing a thing. I need you to go figure it out.
my wife goes, my tire pressure lights came on. Can you put air in my tires? Do you want me to teach you how to do it? No.
Now I'll at least do that because I was just in too many situations where I had to do it myself. But because I had a whole string of bad luck with tires
I mean,
years
I
ago.
taught her how to do it, but if she
So
doesn't have to, she doesn't want to, and I don't mind doing
yeah.
it, so.
Yeah, but listen, there are certain things where I'm just like, no, you do it.
She hates yard work, so guess who mows?
I literally can't because
Yeah,
grass
you'll
kill.
die. I
I will
don't need you to
die.
do that.
Grass, freshly cut grass makes me stop breathing. It literally
Well,
shuts
we can't do
my
that.
sinuses completely
We
down.
don't want to lose. You can't die
So,
on
no,
vacation.
I can't. This cannot happen. Horror hounds around the corner. There's too much happening right now.
We have an
I
interview on
cannot
Sunday.
die
Can you
on
please
vacation.
not die? God. Anyway, so
Least
according,
after March. Okay.
no,
Wait.
because we have so many interviews coming up after
That's true. And I
March.
gotta get my teeth cleaned in April. There's too much
You gotta
going
make sure your
on.
teeth are clean for your funeral.
What?
Even though your mouth will be closed.
Somebody's gonna be like, look, oh, at least her teeth looks
Gonna be
good.
like, but wait!
Her teeth look incredible,
Her teeth look
guys.
amazing. Bestie. So, according to urban legend,
Oh my God, tell me you have depression without telling me you have depression. You're literally laughing about
don't you want any wish that you ever had to come true?
Listen, with
Haven't you ever wished you were dead? Wham.
She was like, no, and I was like, Well,
Not all of us can say that.
I mean, not anymore.
If I could go back in time and pick which wishes I wanted to come true, then we could do that.
I've
But
just finally reached that age where, like, I don't want to die, but I just want to fall asleep and never wake up.
I'd like to be in a coma for about 5 years. To
just
when I wake
I'm
up,
so sorry. I
to
literally
where
just
when I
spit
actually
everywhere.
wake up, both presidential candidates this year will be fucking dead. So.
I'll be like, who's president? Oh.
Jack Black is pregnant.
Peaches, peaches.
This is where that fu our fucking country is going to Jack Black and Bob Dylan. Listen. I mean, I'd vote for him.
Listen.
I'd vote for a dog with a cone on its
Do
head.
not make me, because I would, because I love Jack Black. Anyway.
So, Goat Man. According to urban legend, he is a creature resembling a goat-human hybrid and often credited with canine deaths, and purported to take refugee in the woods of Prince George's County, Maryland, United States. Now, this
So
is the urban legend of Goat Man.
this is where the sightings are in Maryland. So we're starting with Maryland first,
Yes.
then Kentucky, then Texas. But we don't know if it's all the same. Goat man. We just want to preface that because we don't know that.
Maybe he
So
gets around. I don't
yeah,
know.
we don't know.
So in May of 71, University of Maryland student George Lezama completed an undergraduate folklore project on the Goatman that was later added to Maryland Folklife Archives. In Lezama's paper, the Goatman was said to be located on Tucker Road in Clinton, Maryland, and later the same year, reporter Karen Hosler discovered Lezama's project in the Maryland Folklife Archives and reported it on the Prince George's County News in October of 71. This time placing the Goatman near Fletchertown Road in Bowie, Maryland. Additionally, this report covered the theory that the Goatman's origins can be traced to Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. While Goatman stories originated in the early 1970s, some of its legends are set in the late 1930s, with Prince George's County following the disappearances and or deaths of multiple dogs, which were later attributed to the creature. However, given the condition of the remains, the deaths may more likely have been the result of passing trains. Despite evidence to the contrary, stories of the Goatman's existence continued to circulate, especially among local students. Graffiti reading "Goatman was here" was not uncommon, and law enforcement would habitually receive calls of reported sightings, albeit with a number of being pranks. The creature was commonly claimed to have a human face, but a body covered in hair. However, descriptions differed on whether Goatman was greatly resembled a hairy humanoid or a human with the lower portion of a goat, similar to the fauns of Greek mythology. Goatman was rumored to reside in a makeshift shelter in the wooded region of northeastern Prince George's County near the abandoned trailer parks. Occasionally, it was rumored that Goatman would venture out to kill any living thing, such as animals and humans, etc.
So it sounds like to me that this this particular one, in relation to the agricultural research center, to me it's almost given off kind of like okay, so I'm trying to find the name. It was, oh yeah, the Montauk and the goodness gracious, that there is, because that's where the inspiration for Stranger Things came from,
right?
Was conspiracy theories around Montauk regarding secret government experiments. And it's basically that, because that, I think a lot of that also got fueled with like the Montauk monster thing, that there was like, I think that was also, wasn't that part of the basis of like The Mist, that there was there was a center that was doing these like experiments and on these things. And so it's kind of all, it's giving off those vibes that there was, that they're experimenting, they're doing some kind of hybrid experiments on things, particularly at this center, and that Goatman is a product of that. So it's kind of giving off those vibes. That could make for a good movie. if done right, that could make for a good movie.
So according to some variations of the urban legend, Goatman is said to once have been a scientist, Dr. Stephen Fletcher, who worked in the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. In this version, an experiment on goats backfires and the scientist mutates into a half-man, half-goat creature who begins aggressively attacking cars in the vicinity of Beltsville, Maryland. Another variation of the legend holds that Goatman himself was an old hermit who lived in the woods and often would be seen walking alone at night along Fletchertown Road. You know, he's just trying to do his thing. He's just chilling in the woods. He's taking walks.
He's just trying to live off the grid, guys.
Fucking same.
Okay.
Goatman, we feel you. According to University of Maryland folklorist Barry Pearson, the Goatman legend began long, long, long ago and were further popularized in 71. When the death of a dog was blamed on Goatman by local residents. Pearson relates that quote-unquote bored teenagers keep the Goatland legend alive by repeating the story and suggesting that the creature attacks couples frequenting the local lover's lane, subsequently stirring interest in sites like Fletchertown Road.
Yeah, I feel like that, and this is going back like way back in like early DFWTO days, back when we did our Step Cemetery episode in my family's hometown of Indiana near Bloomington. And how just over the years, I feel like younger generations just kind of perpetuate these myths more and more and more. Like, especially in small towns, you get passed around, they get passed down. Totally makes sense, especially if you're bored and you're just like, what the fuck else do we have to do? Let's go look for this monster or ghost or goat man or whatever. So next we find ourselves in Kentucky,
I love this one's name.
and this goat man, because it is always seen near a railroad trestle bridge over Pope Lick Creek, which is in the Fisherville neighborhood outside of Louisville, Kentucky. This goat man is known as the Pope Lick Monster. So he is the either part goat, part man, or part sheep, part man. Again, like I said, that is underneath the trestle bridge over Pope Lick Creek in Kentucky. So numerous urban legends exist about the creature's origins and the methods it employs to claim its victims. According to some accounts, the creature uses either hypnosis or voice mimicry to lure trespassers onto the trestle to meet their deaths before an oncoming train. I feel like a lot of cryptids have this in common. This seems to end up
I was going to
kind
say
of
the
passing down a common
hypnosis
thing
and the
with
voice
a lot of
mimicry
cryptids. Yeah,
sounds
we've
like a
heard this.
skinwalker. But also, you got to think
We've
Kentucky,
heard
that's
this before.
Appalachia or
Yeah.
Appalachia. So, I mean, you've got like a lot of.
I think that's
If
kind of
you.
tomato, tomato.
Right.
Appalachia.
If you see it, no, you didn't. If you heard it, no, you
Nope.
didn't.
No, the fuck you didn't. So it lures trespassers onto the trestle to meet their death before an oncoming train. Other stories claim the monster jumps down from the trestle onto the roofs of cars passing beneath it. That's terrifying. Yet other legends tell that it attacks its victims with a blood-stained axe, and that the sight of the creature is so unsettling that those who see it while walking across the high trestle are driven to leap off. Other legends hold that the monster is a human-goat hybrid. I always love this story. It's always I love when it's some kind of hybrid for like no reason. And that it was a circus freak
I mean, isn't
who
all of
vowed
them some
revenge,
kind
right? Who vowed revenge after being mistreated. In one version, it is said the monster escaped after a train derailed on the trestle. Another version, commonly told by locals of the area, claims that the monster is really the twisted, reincarnated form of a farmer who sacrificed goats in exchange for satanic powers. Again, going back to the whole
That's what it
Satan
is.
tie-in. There you go.
That's what it
The legends have
is.
turned the area into a site for legend tripping, which is a name bestowed by folklorists and anthropologists, where people make nocturnal pilgrimages, so visits at night, to sites that have been reported to be either tragic, have had tragic or horrific scenes, or possibly supernatural or even haunted. So more and more people have been showing up since the legend started, which has unfortunately caused a number of deaths and accidents at the trestle since the construction, despite the presence of an 8-foot fence to keep thrill seekers out. There's a common misconception that the trestle is abandoned and no longer used. In reality, the bridge carries a major rail artery into Louisville. Heavy freight trains cross the bridge several times daily, so it is easy for someone to get caught atop it while an oncoming train barrels down on them. Norfolk Southern Railway, because God almighty, they don't need any more bad press, urges citizens not to climb the trestle, saying if caught, they would be arrested. So the monster was the subject of a 1988 film by Louisville filmmaker Ron Childeck,
Sure.
called The Legend of the Pope Lick Monster. The 16-minute, $6,000 film premiered December 29th, 1988, at the Uptown Theater. Most of the film was shot at the actual Pope Lick Trestle, but scenes showing the characters up on the trestle were shot at another safer location. Norfolk Southern Railway officials were very upset about the film at the time, as they thought it would encourage teenagers to visit the trestles. They found one scene in particular dangerously misleading. In the particular scene, the main character, who is a high school student, narrowly escapes an approaching train by hanging off the side of the trestle. In reality, few people would have the strength to hang on for the 5 to 7 minutes it takes for a long train to clear the 772-foot trestle. In
No.
addition, the vibrations from the train are so strong that the ground beneath the trestle shakes as the train passes.
No.
Oh my God, no. Because railroad officials were worried that the film would add to the death toll, Norfolk Southern issued a statement read at the premiere, which warned of the trestle's dangers, and it informed the audience that anyone caught on the trestle could be prosecuted for trespassing. The story of the monster was featured in an episode of Destination America's Monsters and Mysteries in America titled Ozarks. You can currently watch it on Discovery Plus. That is not a plug or an ad, even though it should be at this point.
As much as we talk about Discovery Plus.
Several people have died, again, as I mentioned before, on or near the train trestle in pursuit of the public monster legend. In 1988, a 17-year-old young man by the name of Jack Charles Baum II, he went by JC, was hit and killed by a train, and another young man was injured while trying to cross the trestle. In 1994, a man was killed by a train after his ATV overturned, oh my God, on the trestle, and it trapped him on the track. I don't even like ATV. I have known people personally who have been severely injured and died in ATV accidents, and I would never in my life, even if I was in good health, ever be caught dead on an ATV.
The last time I rode,
I'm sorry,
one,
I think we almost I think flipped they're it. So dangerous.
We almost flipped it, and that was probably the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm sure people can be very careful. I'm sure people are screaming at me right now that I don't know what I'm talking about, yada, yada, whatever. But listen, if you've never known anybody who's been severely injured or died on one of those things, then I'm sorry. I don't really too care about your opinion. just saying. In 2000, a 19-year-old fell to his death after encountering a train. And on April 23rd of 2016, a 26-year-old tourist by the name of Roquel Bain. She was from Ohio. She died after being hit by a train while she was searching for the monster. Her boyfriend survived by hanging on the side. So, yeah, I guess he was strong enough. And then more recently, on May 26, 2019, Savannah Bright, who was 15, was pronounced dead at the scene after she and another teenage girl were on the train tracks near the Public Trestle. Bright's unidentified companion was taken to University of Louisville Hospital.
So, in other words, don't do that.
Do not do that. Okay? Don't go looking for Goatman in Louisville, Kentucky. Near
Sounds Public, legitimately dangerous.
Bridge. Yeah. Do not do that. That's our little disclaimer that we're reading. Have they read one before the showing of that film? We're giving you our little disclaimer to just don't
Is
fucking
it like, don't
go,
try this at home.
Like, just don't fucking do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Don't.
Just don't. There you go.
So now we're traveling to Texas. I'm actually surprised one of these haven't been seen in Florida, just because Florida is so fucking the fuck is
Florida has Florida Man. Florida Man would fuck Goat Man.
Florida Man is the cryptid of all cryptids. Mm-hmm. Cryptids. I can't fucking talk. The cryptid of all cryptids is the Florida Man.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Florida Man is, just look it up.
Yeah.
So in Texan folklore, the Lake Worth Monster is a legendary creature said to inhabit Lake Worth at the Fort Worth Nature Center and Refuge just outside Fort Worth. Worth. The Makes creature sense. Is often described as part man, part goat, with scales and long clawed fingers. This is a mer-goat man. So, reports of sightings by local citizens of a half-man, half-goat with fur and scales in July of 69 led to belief that a mysterious creature lived in Lake Worth. Newspapers reported the alleged sightings, including one which the monster landed on a man's car after jumping out of a tree, and another in which it threw an automobile tire at a group of people. Newspapers also published a photograph purportedly taken of the creature by Alan Plaster, and locals began driving out to the lake at night to get a look at it. Local police investigated the claims, but found no evidence of the monster in Lake Worth and Greer Island area. According to one reporter, the Goatman legend was spread via summer camp stories where camp counselors told children to listen carefully and you'll hear his cry on clear nights like tonight. What does his cry sound like, though? That's my question.
Oh, my God.
And then later, is he like
far, far away?
Is he like sound like a goat? Is he screaming like,
Yeah, I think if you heard that in a place that you weren't supposed to hear that, that would be fucking terrifying.
I think I would leave.
Yeah.
In a later interview, Ellen Plaster commented on the photo, described as a man-sized white fur ball that he took while driving past the Nature Center in 69.
If they would have said black fur ball, I'd been like, that's just my cat. I'm so sorry.
True. She looks really good for her age. She's like 50, 60 years old.
And cat years.
Since reports of the monster ceased when school resumed, many suspected the incidents were pranks carried out by high school students. In 2005, a reporter at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram received an anonymous letter from someone claiming to be one of three high school classmates who, in the summer of 69, decided to go out to Lake Worth and scare people using a tinfoil mask. In 2009, Fort Worth, Texas magazine published a report about an unidentified man who said that he had been a perpetrator of the tire-throwing incident. Cryptozoologist blogger... I want to become a cryptozoologist. I think that's cool as fuck. Craig Woolheater said he believes the Lake Worth monster is an undiscovered, uncatalogued primate species that walks on two legs. So we went from half goat, half man to now a primate? Okay. So since 2009, the 40th anniversary of the sightings, Fort Worth Nature Center and Refuge has held a Lake Worth Monster Bash each October. In 2019, the Fort Worth Water Department, H2OMG Podcast, released a four-part audio series on the legend of the Lake Worth Monster.
Nice.
I was going to say, why don't we do something for Frogman? We do. Loveland has a fucking convention. I just love it when places that, you know, that there's a cryptid, a specific cryptid in that place, that the place really, I guess, goes with it. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. That's so, that,
like,
that
Point
is cool.
Pleasant, they Loveland.
Play into it.
Like, Texas. Where?
Just completely play into it.
Where was Bigfoot? Where was that at?
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Where they got the picture. Where they kind of, like.
The brim, Patterson Gimli picture.
Yeah, because don't they have
Holy
like
shit.
A lot of.
Is that in Northern California?
Don't they have
that...
a lot of like restaurants and stuff geared towards Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah, the whole. Well, we were just talking about Willow Creek earlier, and that's all.
It's where Willow Creek was filmed, isn't it?
Yeah. Humboldt County, California.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all Northern California.
I was like, am I crazy?
Which actually, interesting enough, there is a documentary that. It alludes to having to do with Bigfoot, but it actually has nothing to do with Bigfoot. It's Humboldt County is actually another thing it's really known for is kind of the Green Triangle. It's before California was medically then recreationally legalized with cannabis. There were a lot, that's where a lot of the hippie counterculture went to start their own grow farms. And I think in the 80s and 90s, especially when the trafficking got really bad from cartels in Mexico, innocent people, families were getting murdered by either bikers that were contracted or the cartels themselves. And this filmmaker, God, I can't think of the guy's name. It was on Hulu. It was really, really interesting when it got into like... There were two guys in particular that were brutally murdered, and it was passed down that it had to do with Bigfoot, but it wasn't.
Hmm.
And then it just opened up more of this, of the whole thing with these, how bad these cartel murders were starting to get up there.
Mm.
With literally people that were just families, just trying to make, they just, like, listen, like, off the grid whole thing, just wanted to... grow cannabis and
right
and
they're just
and,
trying
and,
to live
yeah that's it like nothing else and the drug and the cartels and everything got involved. So it was really interesting because it was a story that started that it was the way it was passed down that there was literally these guys were brutally murdered and how the story got out was that Bigfoot did it. Like that's literally how the story got out.
Bigfoot.
But when it was near a grow farm and like things started coming together and mm-hmm. they pieced it together that it was these cartels involved and then it just kind of led into all of these other like unsolved murders. Well, you know, and then that's another one of those areas too where a lot of people go missing because it's in the woods. So it leads you to is it cartels? Is it aliens? Is it Bigfoot? Like what? You know, you don't know.
who is the culprit?
What the fuck is
is it all three?
Like, what is really going on? So, yeah. But, yeah, you go to Willow Creek, California, specifically in Humboldt County where the sighting happened, you can't get away. There's Bigfoot Museum.
I mean,
Bigfoot,
I kind of want to go there. Not
Bigfoot
lie.
Restaurants. Big, for sure.
Eventually.
On the bucket list.
100%.
Straight up going to tell my husband, like, our 20th wedding anniversary, we're going to Willow.
And I will join you. I'll be in a suitcase with Alex. That's fine.
They're like, why are you guys here? Like, our 20-year wedding anniversary.
I'd be like, I love Bigfoot.
For a 20-year wedding anniversary, we want to see Bigfoot.
Yes. It is literally on my bucket list to see Bigfoot, so.
We want to get our anniversary photo. With
selfie. Let me take a selfie. So,
happy anniversary.
When I was telling you guys about the bridge, I did want to mention to you the Goatman's Bridge, Old Alton Bridge, or Alton Bridge. It is in Texas. It was built in 1884 by King Iron Bridge Manufacturing Company and originally carried horses and later automobiles over Hickory Creek at a location that was once a popular ford for crossing cattle. The bridge actually takes its name from the abandoned community of Alton, which between 1850 and 1856 was the seat of Denton County. And the bridge is, of course, a subject of several ghost lore stories featuring a vengeful ghost. Now, as far as the ghost lore, it's known as Goat's Man's Bridge. It's said to be haunted by a half-man, half-goat figure called Goat Man. The belief is based on the legend of a black goat farmer named Oscar Washburn, who was said to have moved his family to a residence just north of the bridge. A few years later, having become known as a dependable and honest businessman and dubbed the Goat Man by locals, displayed a sign on the bridge reading, "This way to the Goat Man." But the success of a black man was still unwelcome to many, and in August of 1938, Klansmen and the local government crossed the bridge, kidnapped Washburn from his family, and they lynched him.
You can only imagine.
Yeah. And after securing it, they looked down to see if he had passed away, and he actually was not there when they looked down to see if he was gone. And he was actually gone. In a panic, they returned to his family home, and then they just decided to kill his family. So locals warned that if you cross the bridge at night without headlights, you will be met on the other side by the Goat Man. Ghostly figures and strange lights are said to appear in the surrounding woods, as well as reports of visitors being touched, grabbed, and having rocks thrown at them. The legend results in the area around the old bridge being popular among paranormal ghost investigators. Like I mentioned, Ghost Adventures has an episode there, and I guess BuzzFeed Unsolved does as well. So yeah, that one.
I think I have seen the BuzzFeed Unsolved one.
That one sounds like very much a revenge story, which rightfully so.
It's giving Candyman.
It's giving.
It's giving Candyman vibes.
It is. It's giving Candyman vibes.
Like big.
But instead of bees, it's goats. So.
Which honestly, I'm like, which is more terrifying right now?
I'll be honest with you. If I was faced with an aggressive horde of bees or an aggressive goat, I don't know which one I'd be more scared of. Because goats fucking hurt when they ram you, and bees obviously hurt when they sting. So, if it was one bee, it's fine.
Like, thank God I'm not allergic.
Right.
So I just found this out today. So did not have time to watch in preparation of the recording. But there is a Goatman movie.
Oh Lord.
It is called Goatman. It came out this year. Or last year, I'm sorry. I don't know what year it is. It came out in 2023. And it is streaming on Tubi. It currently has a 2.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oof.
I'm just letting y'all know. Listen, this can be so rough because I've had this happen to me before. I don't even know how many times. The poster looks so good. And then the movie. It's rough, though, because sometimes I've seen one where the poster looks really good and the movie actually ends up being good, but then you see ones where the poster looks really good and the movie's like, oh, what did you do? False advertising. What? No. Absolutely not even at all.
There's apparently called one called the Goat Man.
So this
as well.
Okay, so I actually did find two on Tubi. One was called the Goat Man. I'm not sure what that was about. There was another one on Tubi called Legend of the Goat Man, which is apparently it's more of a documentary, like a docu-series shot movie. I did not watch that one either. It's also streaming on Amazon. That one's more of a documentary that actually goes more into the legend of the Goat Man, specifically in Maryland, the one we talked about. The Goat Man doesn't seem to have anything to do with an actual Goat Man. The synopsis of that one is a set of dysfunctional siblings return home to their family's land to reunite and confront a terrifying monster of their past. A lot of times those movies, there isn't an actual, like, monster. It's
It's a metaphor.
It's metaphorical. I wish some movies would just put that out there. I think we were just talking about this. My husband loves monster movies. And there's been so much that's happened to us twice so far on Shudder, where they're in the, like, creature monster category and you're, like, ready to see monsters. And then you watch it and you're like, okay, the movie wasn't bad, but this pretty much the entire thing was a metaphor. There's no actual, like, there is a monster, but there isn't, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I wish some movies would just...
Oh my god, this is called The Goat Man Murders.
But this particular one is called A News Reporter and Her Crew Investigating the Legend of Goat Man in a Dense Forest Find Themselves in Danger, Getting a Bigger Story Than Any of Them Could Imagine.
This Goat Man poster one, that was this made one is last
the low,
year.
This one's the low budget one. This that one is on... Yeah, this
that poster is dope as hell, dude.
That's why I was saying, you can't always be fooled, though, by the poster.
I know, but that's such a dope poster.
I've seen some great posters that don't wind up being... But anyway, like I said, it's hard to tell, because you don't know. But yeah, this is streaming on Tubi. So apparently there have been Goat Man movies, with some of them having the actual premise of a Goat Man, and others it just looks like it's sort of implied and just has the name. Then there's the documentary. That one came out in 2017, it looks like, the particular one that talks about the one in Maryland. But yeah. So, really interesting. That would be cool to go to a Goatman festival.
It's actually crazy how many actual Goatman movies there are, and I haven't heard of a single fucking one of them until just now.
But see, that's the thing, though. It makes me wonder how many of them actually have to do with Goatman.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not really mentioning any of them, except for that particular one that came out last year on Tubi, because that's the only actual one that seems to have to do with Goatman. I think a lot of movies are just given titles that don't even... Again, there's so many things, like, it's either implied or it's just purely metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
But you name the name of the movie, and you give that as the whole premise or synopsis of the movie, and then you end up watching the movie, and you're like, this is not a monster movie.
Right. Just say it's not a monster movie. If there isn't a creature in the film, it's not a monster movie.
Okay, like, case in point, and I don't want to... This is actually genuinely a really good movie, and if people have not seen it, I would honestly give it a try. It's called Sea Fever, and it was on Shudder. It was actually a really good movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me about that.
But it is not a monster movie. It's not. It's not a monster movie. It is not a monster movie. It gives underwater vibes. You think it's kind of going in that Cthulhu, Lovecraftian sort of route. You think it's going that way. It absolutely does not. The movie was... There's some kind of crazy shit that happens, but the movie is purely metaphorical. Very good movie, though. It actually really was good.
But it's
good.
Not a creature feature.
No, and it's category... It's... I think it sort of was one of those where it's like M. Night Shyamalan's movies. Where they like don't know where to categorize it. So they just put it somewhere.
I mean, that's,
and it's
that,
like,
that's
this
accurate.
Is not even what this movie's about. Like, the movie's good, but that's not what this movie's about.
Most of M. Night Shyamalan's movies aren't horror, but they are. It's so hard to just put him... I'm like, he's a thriller. He just makes a lot of thrillers, honestly. It's hard to... It's not necessarily horror, but it's not horror. It's like Midsommar. It's like Midsommar.
I remember the first time I saw like... Signs. I don't know why that movie scared me. That movie was just creepy.
Fines. Fines. Oh my god, can somebody make a movie about Fines?
And
be a horror movie? No, like, Signs is actually a horror movie, though.
Yeah, Signs, like...
So is,
Like, legit, like, actually scared me. Like, the first time. And I don't want... It's unsettling. I don't want to say scary, but, like, it creeped me out.
It was the alien, like, towards the end. No.
And The Sixth Sense is very unsettling.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling. The whole movie. And then it gets to the end, and you're like, what?
And then I would say, like, Lady in the Water, The Village. Those were definitely...
I did not like Lady in the Water. I know that's always, Water. That's always one.
And I love Paul Giamatti. I tried so hard. Those are thrillers. And then The Visit was definitely a horror.
Oh, for sure a horror movie.
Devil. No. Did he do Devil? Was it Devil he did?
Why do I want to say he did Devil? And that movie fucked me up.
I think he did do Devil. That was horror. I figured out who the devil actually was, though, like, at the beginning, but...
I did not. My husband totally had it figured out, as per usual. It was written by him, not directed by him.
Okay. I was like, he had a hand in something.
Right. Right. Written, but not directed.
I have to say, I'm looking...
Oh, it was directed by the guy that did the Poughkeepsie tapes and As Above, So Below. That's who directed Devil.
Well, goddamn. I love both of those movies.
Mm-hmm. Even though the Poughkeepsie Tapes was a one shot. And I am never fucking watching
that movie
ever again.
I am never
watching that movie again. So I just need everybody within the sound of my voice to know that. Every horror fan... Especially if you're on the horror side of TikTok, every single horror fan has those one and done where you're like, I am never fucking watching this again.
I'm trying to think of a one and done that I have that is due to that being unsettling. Not like because I was like, that was worth one time watch, but I'm never going to watch that again.
Oh, The Mist for sure. Like, get the fuckity fuck.
I would watch that again.
No, not me.
But what I would do is like 30 seconds before the ending, I just turn it off. They all survived. They drove away. After the cops and the SWAT team shows up.
Listen.
Just saying. If you turn it off before it happens.
Casper cracked the code. Thank you so much. Casper literally cracked the code. If The Mist was on your one and done list, like myself, we can watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
We just stop it. And we get the ending that we wanted.
They were all rescued.
There you go.
Lived. Just turn it off about 5 minutes before the ending.
Nailed it.
Because the movie is good. Nailed Honestly, it. The Mist is so good. I love the creatures. I love the people in it. I think it's a great movie. It's
it
just
is
the last
so good.
5 minutes.
Like, it's so...
I have never raged. I screamed. I was like, what the fuck?
I sat there with my mouth open and tears in my eyes. Just in silence. Like, did not make a sound. Didn't cry. I just... But I had tears in my eyes because I didn't know
how do you react.
How to react to what I just? I mean, I was like, eyes welled up with tears, just mouth agape. Just what? What did I? Why? What? What? Frank Darabont, sir.
Like, what the fuck was that ending?
But As Above, So Below does not. There, that is one of those movies on my list. Again, as horror fans, we have our list of the ones that do not get the credit that they deserve.
Yes.
And As Above, So Below is Most definitely on that list.
As Above, So Below is Lara Croft and Tomb Raider.
I have heard movie. People bash that movie, and
it's
I go,
it's literally
why?
Tomb Raider as a horror
movie. I go,
it's
what
brilliant.
In the world could you bash? You're nitpicking.
It's brilliant.
There's one guy in particular, I cannot think of his name. He's a nitpicker. He's on TikTok, and he's nitpicky. And he did not like this movie. And it was every reason was nitpicky as fuck. And it's always these, like, you know, if you have a personal, we all sometimes have a personal trigger in a certain movies where it just hits that, like, one thing
mm-hmm.
for you, but it's personal to you. It's like, just say that, okay? Because that is not going to be the general consensus to everybody else when this is something that you are, that's like, I literally saw this skit on TikTok. To me, it would be the same exact thing as, because I just saw this exact skit. It was a girl who was a waitress that had a table where the girl was being so rude to her because she was like, you look like the girl that my boyfriend cheated. I feel like it's the same thing. Like, you don't like this movie because the main character looks like your ex? Like, bro, just say that. Like, is that why you don't like the movie? Because, like, what did you talk? Like, I swear to God, I feel like there are people out there that
probably.
Do that. And at that point, it's like, just say that this was a personal to you. Like, it's not the movie as a whole. Like, this is your thing because it's your hang-up.
That's exactly why I say certain things about, like, for instance, this is a great, for instance, the movie Dunkirk. Hated it. Boring as fuck. Could not stand, I fell asleep during that movie. It was awful. To me. I don't like war movies very much. The movie itself is amazing. The cinematography is amazing. The acting is amazing. The music is amazing. The movie itself is amazing. But I don't like war movies. I was bored out of my fucking skull. And I didn't like it. But if you like war movies, it's perfect for you. It's a great movie on its own. So it's like that. If you don't like certain kinds of movies or certain things like that, it could be a good film. It's just not good to you.
I've never seen Saving Private Ryan for literally the exact reason you just gave. I don't. And I know that could just kill people because they're like, oh my God, it's such a great movie. I've heard. I know. Everybody that's in it. Steven Spielberg directed it. Matt Damon. Tom Hanks. Everybody. Listen.
I don't care.
No argument. I love. I don't like those type of movies.
Another, for instance, there's a movie coming out called Monkey Man. I don't like
big,
movies like that.
You're not big into mobsters.
Exactly.
Stuff. So you wouldn't watch. Now I love it, but you wouldn't because you're not big. Now Monkey Man, what is that?
Monkey Man's that new movie about the guy who is in. It's not necessarily MMA, but it's like boxing or something like that.
Oh, see, I don't watch movies like that.
I don't care. Like, honestly, I like Jordan Peele.
The
Jordan
only
Peele produced it.
Boxing movies I ever watched ever because they're the only ones that matter was Rocky.
Agreed.
Okay, that's it.
I watched Creed and hated it.
I did not watch any of those.
You're not missing anything.
I'm good.
Honestly, I did it because I liked Rocky. So I was like, okay, well, if I
see,
like
I didn't
Rocky,
watch
I
any
like
of
this.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of them.
No.
Because I thought, ooh, this is.
And then I realized I hate boxing movies. Or anything to do with stuff like that. Not my thing. At all. But that's what I'm
but
saying.
Like, I like watching actual. And now here's what's strange. I like watching actual boxing matches. I like watching actual MMA matches. I don't want to watch a boxing or an MMA movie.
I think that makes perfect sense. I do. I think it makes a lot
of
sense.
No.
There's a difference between watching an actual match and a film. I love watching basketball. Like the game.
Right. I am not going to watch
a
basketball
movie. Absolutely fucking not. No.
I'm out.
The only, and this is for football.
I'm out.
The only football movie that I actually, there's two of them. The only two that I love is Remember the Titans and Radio.
Mine are,
honestly, the Green Mile is really good too.
Mine are Remember the Titans, as far as football, Remember the Titans and fuck, what was the one Keanu Reeves was in? Oh my God, that movie's so fucking funny. The Replacements.
I
fucking love that movie. That movie holds a special place in my heart. It's hilarious. Oh shit, what was the Adam Sandler? Oh, cause Coco Diaz, Joey Diaz, and I met the guy. I gotta give it up to him. Well, cause it was a remake too. What was the Adam Sandler one where he went to prison?
I have no idea.
That was a good one too. It was fucking hilarious.
It's funny. Bitch.
They gotta be funny. I guess that with football movies.
I guess so.
They either have to be heartwarming or hilarious.
See, Radio was heartwarming, but it was very sad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, woo, it was to very me, sad. It's either, oh, I've seen Radio. No, I know. So it's either Radio or Remember the Titans or The Replacements or whatever the fuck it happens.
Because see, like, I watched We Are Marshall and actually hated it. Like, I didn't know.
Oh, there's no way.
No. I'm not. I don't like movies.
I am so glad you told me Silver Linings Playbook had nothing to do.
It's because the book is all about football. You wouldn't know. That the movie's actually a love story, but the book's actually only about football, so.
Okay, just for everybody screaming, I was not talking about The Waterboy, even though The Waterboy is funny. I was talking about The Longest Yard. Mm. In my opinion, I could watch The Longest Yard more than... The Waterboy's funny, but The Longest Yard is... I could watch that multiple times. That is very funny. The Longest Yard was really funny. Yeah, that's a funny football one. But yeah, I would never watch Dunkirk. Anytime I ever see these war, I'm like, it's not. Yeah, it's just not my thing. To me, I'm like, I would rather watch documentaries about that. I'm a big documentary person.
I love a good docuseries.
So I will watch, I would love, like, when they did the whole, I think it was the History Channel did the whole Vietnam one in color. Like, oh, see, I'll watch World War II ones. Any documentaries that are, like, really, you get a good narrator. Oh, you got me. I'm good. Like, I will watch a documentary all day long about shit like that. A movie? Listen, that's why it took me 8,000 years to watch Oppenheimer. And I still, like, I'm going to watch it at some point because I actually want to. But at first I was like, I mean, I know what happened.
Now, the movie The Imitation Game, happened. I know that's not war. But the movie The Imitation Game, that was
But it has
history,
to do with, yeah, and what to happened history. To him.
That movie had me so fucking pulled in. It yeah. was so well done and so good. I loved every bit of that movie. I also love how the end of this one has become just us ranting about random movies.
Was it,
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Cabinet? Cabbage Patch?
Cabinet Badgernich?
Is it Benedict Cabbage Patch?
Y'all know who we're talking about too, don't you? Doesn't matter how you... Is it Benedict Closet?
Is it Eggs Benedict,
He is. He plays.
Isn't Eggs Benedict Cumberbun in
Cabbage Patch? Eggs Benedict Cumberpatch? Cabbage Patch? Yes.
And the real life story about what happened to that guy.
That is so sad.
Insane.
Wow.
Insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Good story, though. Very good. Very well done.
All right, so, guys. That wraps up. Go.
We go religion, Goatman,
movies,
war movies,
football movies, war movies,
and football movies. There you go.
Hilarious.
Anyway.
So guys, next week, we are very excited to announce that we are going to have Ricky from basically he's the director writer of the Fear Footage movies. If you guys have not seen them, they're absolutely amazing. He shot the first two on a fucking iPhone, and we interviewed him.
Well, there was three, but were the first two on the iPhone?
I don't know if he's done the third one on an iPhone or okay. not, but I just know that.
But it was originally a trilogy.
Yeah.
All of them are streaming on Amazon Prime.
Watch them. They're
and
found
then,
footage.
Project Eerie is the latest one
mm-hmm.
that has been released. That is a tie-in to the other three.
It's kind of anthology style.
But it's this one's more anthology. I love that found footage can take little bits from other found footage, but make them their own.
I also love that.
And yeah. I would definitely say, if you guys have not, go back and listen to our original interview. Watch the first three I just remember what I appreciated the most, especially about the first one, was the concept of a police camera, of the dash camera.
I loved that.
Of the cop cam, like, that was such an original. I think it was after that. It was in a movie. It wasn't part of the premise of the movie, but it was in a movie. But I had never seen an actual movie shot like that before. Because we've said, you know, if you can come up with a good concept for a found footage movie, all you have to do after that is have a reason for the camera to be there, and then you're sold. So, you know, either you're doing a documentary, or it's a news station, or cop. Cop's got a, you know, body camera on, dash camera on.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was a perfect concept. Perfect concept. All of them, heavy VHS vibes. Love anthology series, love found footage. So definitely check those out on Amazon Prime. And we will be talking to Ricky next week. And guys, we're gearing up for Horrorhound. So excited.
We are getting close.
If you guys follow them on Facebook, they have been posting a lot about the entries to the film festival. They all look really, really, really fucking good. They all look good. Mm-hmm. I am so excited. I know we won't get to see all of them. Hopefully, a vast majority of them will get to see. It's so difficult because you don't. Guys, I'm old. I can't stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning to watch some of these. And some of them are showing at the same time, and we can't be two places at one time. So you just got to do the best you can. But, you know, we're definitely going to have our few, you know, I think what we did last year was pretty solid, where we watched the trailers and we picked the ones that we knew for sure we wanted to see. And as long as there were no overlap.
And the two that we wanted to see the most were being shown at the same
time.
Overlapped.
We're like, so as long as there's no overlap, like, we really, I think that's the formula we're going to stick with, because that seemed to work.
Mm-hmm.
To pick the main one.
But it also really worked too, because it was so nice for us to be able to know who was affiliated with what.
Right.
And be able to actually talk to them.
Exactly.
And exchange socials, get ready for interviews, because even though we did not get to see them at Horror Hound, they were very kind and sent us a copy and let us watch it. And before interviewing them, and everybody that we met last year was just so amazing. And to be awesome. Able to actually still have friends from last year, Victoria's been on twice already. And we've had, and Grayson, I don't know if you remember Grayson.
We'd love to have her back.
She just got accepted in a huge talent or a huge actress agency. So she's actually going to be able to explore that more, which is awesome for her. She has another movie coming out in May. That's like I think it's either a prequel or a sequel to the one that we interviewed her about. But I love watching them grow.
John is officially getting the funding together. He's working on other stuff. He just worked on, was it Haunted House of Pancakes? Or
something like that, yeah.
I don't want to fuck that up, because I cannot wait to see that. And he just worked on that, and that's going to be great.
He's working on the second Final Summer.
He's working on Final Summer, too. So I think they've got an Indiegogo right now trying to raise money. Yes, Haunted House of Pancakes. They're also officially trying to raise money. So yeah, if you love, we love horror comedies over here, so definitely check that out. So please support them. Please support John. And try to raise as much money you can for that sequel to Final Summer. Final Summer is streaming on Tubi and Amazon Prime if you want to support. We love what indie filmmakers are doing, and whatever little bit we can to support, we are here for it. And mm-hmm. we'll support in any way that we can. So yeah. Guys, that's all we have for tonight.
Of course, you know you can find us all on the socials. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at DFWTO Podcast. Handle is DFWTO 88 11. If you have any questions, concerns, want to say hey, you can give us an email at dfwto8493@gmail.com. And then lastly, if you want to follow and subscribe to make sure you know when we put new episodes out, you can give us a follow, subscribe, and rating on Spotify, Podbean, and iTunes. And make sure to please do that. We take all kinds of criticism. Hit us up. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to see. All that fun stuff.
Yes. And we are always taking suggestions, ideas. Definitely let us know. But we're going to keep the episodes coming. And
there's going to be probably an influx of interviews coming up. But we can't wait to share all this with you guys. We're very excited to talk about Horror
Hound. Those were a big hit last year. Mm-hmm. We were able to introduce you guys to a lot of movies. And definitely if you see us at Horror Hound, come say hi. We are so excited to cover it again this year. So
yeah, come say hi. We don't bite. We're nice.
And we're going to try to do more socials stuffs on our stuffs on things.
Have you ever had dreams?
Stuffs and things.
The amount of times I've been so close.
So you'll see our mugs on our socials, because we normally don't, because this is an audio podcast. But
yeah. I'm getting very close to deleting all of my social media and just focusing on the amount of times I've been like,
I literally post nothing on mine, and it's simply used for me and my husband to send funny videos. My husband and I just send a lot of funny videos.
Me and Alex send each other videos while we're sitting in the same room, so it's fine.
If you aren't doing that with your spouse, then what are you doing? I mean, isn't that what you're...
Do you have a healthy relationship?
Isn't that what... Right? I feel like that's... the definition of a healthy relationship.
If you're not texting in the same room, what are you doing? All right, guys. Thank you all, as always, for the support. We love you. And remember,
don't fuck with the original.
Okay, bye.